Chogger, are you ready?
Am I ready?
Yeah.
Yes, I am ready. What are we doing?
Yeah. Rashog always listens to the show, follows along, knows what's going on. Had an article today at Oilers Nation where we're talking about trade
that
talk.
All panic garbage. Yeah, yeah. I read the headline and then moved on.
He's got 30.
Nice job. You basically wasted an hour of your life today doing all that research.
So you're saying there's no chance.
Wow.
He's got 31 points in 34 games, dude.
I know. I'm not going to speak for the organization. I can't pretend to know what they're going to do. My sense is that they won't. Let's put it that way. And my opinion is they shouldn't. I understand why you're looking in that direction. Totally. You look at the numbers and the stats and you think, oh, he's playing well this year and he's contributing. And all those things make sense. But I don't believe in the player, and I don't believe that the player will give you what you need from him when it matters. So for that reason, I would not acquire the player.
Well, that's totally fair, although I will say we probably had over 100 texts today from people who want the Oilers to acquire Vanek strictly so we could ask you about how Vanek played every day on the show.
Every single day? Well, I'll be totally honest. just like I was back when the Montreal Canadiens were trying to get past the New York Rangers and desperately needed Thomas Vanek to do something. He was -2 in the first game, -1 in the second game, and by the fifth game was playing less than 9 minutes and was completely nowhere to be found in the franchise's biggest moment, and I don't even know how long. So, I've watched this guy be relied on in a big moment. And listen, different players, not everybody can come through, and not everybody can perform all the time and in those moments. But not only did he not perform, he was embarrassingly awful and unusable. So after watching a guy play like that in a moment that big, I would just have a tough time going, yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, his numbers are one thing. They're okay in the playoffs. You wonder if he's revitalized. You just don't like the player.
I don't think the Wild think his numbers are okay in the playoffs.
Yeah, I hear you. When the Oilers offer sheeted him, I thought that's not enough player for that kind of money. I just wonder now. You just don't even think it's a good bet at what he's making now for the short term? No?
No, I just wouldn't. I mean, I guess it all depends on what the asset you have to give up is, but you also have to be careful about the player you're adding to the mix. And I mean, really, how often do teams go out and get these veteran guys to come in and shore up their lineup and it works? I mean, how often do you go out and you bring in the guy that's got the experience or got the this or got the that to solidify your lineup and he ends up being a real clutch player for you that really helps you through it? Now, the Oilers had a few guys back in 06 and it worked out nicely for them. But I'd suggest there's probably more times where it ends up being a complete failure, whether you look at the Andrew Ladds of the world last year's deadline or teams that try and add these players and it just doesn't necessarily add up to what they're looking for.
Yeah,
so, I don't know what the ask would be, but I wouldn't put him in a position in your lineup where you required anything from him.
Well, the thing is, I don't think the Oilers are looking for, you know, a savior. I think they're just looking for a complimentary guy. And to me, I still believe, and why I used Vanek today as my example, was I still think the Oilers are better off if they're hoping to have a long playoff run to have Draisaitl and McDavid on separate lines.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily agree. If they can find a better third line center than Drake Kujula, then I think they're okay. Like, in watching the way this team has played and where their success has come from, I think if they head into a playoff series tomorrow against, I don't know, whoever, and Todd McClellan goes, what's our best chance of winning tonight's game? It's going to be with Draisaitl next to McDavid. The problem is, can you rely on Drake Kujula as a third-line center in a playoff series? And to me, the answer is no. That's no offense to Drake. He's still inexperienced at this level, needs some time in the American Hockey League. But you explain the difference to me between Drake Kujula and Mark Arcabello. I don't see it at this point. And there's no way you would have had Mark Arcabello as your third-line center heading into a playoff series. So they need an upgrade at the third-line center spot that'll allow them to keep Draisaitl on the wing with McDavid where he belongs. You get a center that can play center or the wing, and you improve at that third-line center spot, and you allow your strength to stay where it's been its best, and that's Draisaitl next to McDavid, but you have all your options open. So if they can solidify in that spot, they're fine to keep Draisaitl where he is.
Yeah, good point. It's a lot to ask of a kid like Kajula, even though he's a little bit older as a rookie because of his college experience. But I don't know if that was a slip. You mentioned by mentioning his name, if your armchair GM, Ryan, and we're talking forwards, is that the one spot your eyes are fixed on right now?
Yeah, that's the spot I'm fixated on. I think you're not moving Jordan Eberle before the deadline. You're not moving any of your key forwards before the deadline. If they get into the playoffs, they have to go in there with Jordan Eberle as one of their top two right wingers and just plan on Jordan Eberle contributing and being a good player for them. You don't go and upgrade or try and change that position because Eberle's had an up-and-down year. Mm-hmm. You got to dance with the one that brung you or the one you brung. So if the Oilers get into the playoffs, Eberle firmly sits in his spot and they plan on relying on him. Pouliot firmly sits in his spot and then they plan on relying on him. You plan on these guys elevating their game and being good enough when the playoffs hit because they can't afford to be guessing that Pouliot's not going to be good enough, so now they need to find a third-line left winger. They can't afford to be doing that. They've got these guys. They're under contract. They're paying them. You have to assume they're going to give them something. So what else do they need? That third-line center spot is where they run into trouble. Now, it gets a little tricky because you go out and get a rental. Ideally, if you can get a high-caliber rental, the idea would be maybe you could even sign them after the fact so you don't end up giving the assets for nothing. But if you go get Hanzel, say, as a third-line center, and then you want to re-sign him, well, now you've got McDavid, Draisaitl, Nugent Hopkins, Hanzel. It just gets a little bit too much down the middle there. So, I mean, it gets a little bit tricky looking forward. But in terms of what they need right now, Kajula's not going to cut it as a third-line center. Elevating Letestu it'll change the equation for Mark Letestu. He'll go from a guy who is hitting it out of the park as a fourth-line center and a penalty killer to a guy who probably underachieves as a third-line center. And I just think he's in the perfect spot. They need to let him be where he is.
Ryan Oshog from TSN. This just coming down, no surprise. The Oilers, due to the injury last night to Dujarkera, have recalled Anton Lander. So he will come back up. I would guess, though, you'll probably see Matt Hendricks maybe in the lineup tomorrow night just because he's here. We'll see. Now, you know, going back to Hanzel, it's interesting because I talked to two different scouts yesterday at the game asking about Hanzel because Arizona's a team that's obviously out of it, and his name is out there. And I found it interesting how many of them, their major concern about Hanzel, Ryan, was the same concern you have about Vanek. They've never really felt that in big games he's ever showed up. That was two
and
different
in
scouts.
Big games, you're speaking of what?
Because well, the last time they were.
Since 2012.
Yeah, well. That's exactly what they're talking about. They just felt like he's never really they've never seen him be a guy that when push comes to shove is a shover.
Yeah, well, listen, I mean, the guy's 6'6", 230 pounds, and, you know, he doesn't really play with any discernible edge or physicality. But, I mean, as a rental player, for him to come in and lock down a third-line center spot, To me, the bigger concern is his ability to stay healthy. To me, that's the bigger issue with Hanzel is his ability to stay healthy and be reliable and stay with you for an entire playoffs because he's not an overly healthy player over the years. And I talked to a few people around the Arizona organization when they were in town. And the thing about Hanzel is that he's kind of never really met his potential for the size and the skill that he has, that crazy combination of size and skill. He's never really fully put it together. So that's concerning, but you're not bringing him in to be your second line center, and if he doesn't produce, you're toast. You're bringing him in and putting him into a position where he probably has a pretty good chance to succeed as a third line center. You're probably not playing him too far out of his depth. And as we've seen in the past, the best teams have guys playing in positions that they are suited to play in. They're not playing above their heads. They're not playing out of their depth. Bringing in Hanzel as a rental, as a third-line center, is probably doable. Now, the other option is Verbata, who probably ends up costing a lot more. He's having, you know, he's got 29 points in his 44 games this season. He's producing a little bit better, but he's not necessarily the natural center that Hanzel is.
That's interesting. I kind of see the same the low risk from Vanek to Hanzel is what you just described in Hanzel. That, hey, if Vanek comes in here, doesn't blow the doors off, it's not like your team is sunk anyway.
Yeah, but you're relying on Vanek, and if he fails, now you've got to play Draisaitl on the wing and Kajula at third line center.
Or worst case scenario, you'd call up Jesse Puljujärvi.
Well, and I think their plan likely is to see where Puljujärvi's at. And if he's up and running and going well, then he would be there, and they would hope to rely on him. So just in terms – and I get it. Like, you took a look at needs on the wing, like left wing, right wing, and potentials. And it's not a ridiculous suggestion. It's really not, and you make a great case. I just think they should be focused on the center ice position and not the wing because they've got Draisaitl as an option. They've got Puljujärvi, depending on how he's doing by the end of the year. And their bigger need is insulating Kajula, because I think they're in trouble if they hit a playoff series with Drake Kajula as their third-line center, unless we start seeing something we haven't seen yet.
And then would you then move him to Slepyshev's spot on the wing and keep Kajula on the wing on your third line?
You could, yeah. I mean, then excuse me. Then you've got guys competing for spots, and it's a good open competition. You've got Carey in there competing for ice time. You've got Puljujärvi in there competing for ice time. Slepyshev, even Lander, if you want the reliability in the faceoff circle. Then you've got guys who are coming in and competing for spots that make sense for them to be competing for.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. The other question, Shogger, goalie tactics. So, Nashville tomorrow, Calgary Saturday. What would you do for the goalies? What do you think the Oilers will do for their goalies?
Yeah, real good question. I'd play Talbot in both.
Really?
Yeah, just do it. I mean, they haven't – I know what the stats say, and I know what conventional wisdom is nowadays in the NHL, but you've got an 8 o'clock start on the Saturday night. You've got easy travel in between. You've got an American League goalie with almost little or no experience. You've got a nice run on the go. I wouldn't change it up. I'd start him against Nashville, and if he wins against Nashville, then maybe you can consider going to Brossoit. If he doesn't win against Nashville, put him back in against Calgary.
Okay. Well, at that part, I would agree with then if they lose the first one. But we're in agreement. To me, you got to play Talbot tomorrow night, I think, for sure. Start with game one. And then figure it out after. I don't go to Brossoit tomorrow, even if everybody thinks it's, quote, an easier game.
Yeah, and I mean, Calgary is a team the Oilers, they're more worried about Calgary than they are about Nashville. So you'd think, well, put your best goalie in against Calgary, and then you've got a chance to be perhaps a four-point game. But he's hesitant to play him back-to-back, and I get it. He's worked way more than any other goalie in the league this season. I get that, too. But this is not a brutal back-to-back. Like, it's a lot of games, but, there was a short practice today. Like, I think Cam can handle it, and it's better to do it this weekend than next weekend. I mean, the Anaheim back-to-back, Anaheim-San Jose back-to-back, it's a little tougher. I'd strongly consider going Talbot back-to-back this weekend. Now, I don't know that he's going to do that. I'm not suggesting he's going to, but my instinct is see how he does. Give it to him, see how he does, because he hasn't really tried it yet this year. The back-to-backs, he's been really hesitant to give Cam, and why not? It's not a brutal back-to-back. Now, if you get the first game in Nashville and you win and your team got the ship righted, and if it's a 32-save win for Talbot and he really had to put it out there, then maybe you make a switch and you go with Brossoit in Calgary once you've got those 2 points in the bank. What did you guys say? Robin, what did you say?
Well, I run Talbot the first game, and I ask him how he feels going into the second.
But is a goalie ever going to say, I don't feel well?
Well, you can make that argument, but your own eyes will tell you something. Todd McClellan knows what he sees, and unless you see him struggle, that trip down to Calgary – I don't think it's too taxing, unless we're talking an overtime game where it's 50 saves and he had to stand on his face.
Yeah.
But you use your instinct, and if you're in doubt, you look at Cam and say, are you ready to go tonight?
Yeah. And the thing about Nashville is, like, I mean, I'm not going to criticize Cam too much about last game, but I don't think Talbot was particularly sharp for portions of that game. I think there was some looseness in some of his game, and
yep.
I think he probably comes out of that game glad he won, but realizing, man, there's a few things I need to shore up. And he probably wants to get his butt right back in there, because I think he probably feels like there's some stuff he wants to work out. So if I were Todd, I'd be viewing that as, yeah, Cam, not that he's coming off a loss, but coming off a performance that maybe wasn't up to his standards. Get him back in there and let him work it out. And if you win against Nashville, then maybe the pressure's off and you go back with Brassois. But I would consider going back-to-back with them this weekend, man. They're at this point where they're on a nice run. They're distancing themselves from the competition. They've got 3 days before their 4 days before their next game after that. They've got a nice little break. Then they've got the All-Star break after that. This would be the time to push them through a back-to-back to me.
Yeah, I had Talbot for sure Friday, but I actually had Brassois on Saturday. Give Talbot then 4 days off.
He played,
and then I actually had him, if I was going to play him back-to-back, I had him playing back-to-back on the road against the two division games. But
I'm San Jose.
Yeah, and I could see the Calgary argument for sure, you know, that you want to sweep Calgary, although they already have the season series wrapped up anyway, even if they lose. But it's always a good thing, I guess, to keep beating a team in your own division. So we'll see what he does. But Friday night, for sure, we're all in agreement. It's got to be Talbot tomorrow night. So.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if he doesn't go with it, if he decides to go with Brassois, at the same time, the headline to the Talbot story this year is how much he's playing. So if Todd decides he wants to go with Brassois tomorrow night and Talbot in the Battle of Alberta Saturday in the name of getting Cam some rest, I mean, I get that too. Like, he's played the heck out of Cam.
No, so, I agree. But to me, I think you want to go for the 2 points first, guarantee that. And then, hey, what we all know storylines of players facing former teams and everything like that. And, you know, Brassois, at some point, you got to see if he can sink or swim.
I agree with that. I totally agree with that. I think they have plans for Brassois in terms of figuring out if he's a legitimate NHL goalie or not, and with an eye on him being Cam's long-term backup.
Yeah.
And so in order to sort that out, they will have to find him some games. And with the little buffer they've given themselves here by putting a few wins together, maybe there's enough of a points buffer where Todd can actually afford to say, yep, we need to get a look at this guy, and this is an okay time to do it. So we'll see which way he plays it. It'll be interesting. I mean, I haven't been able to predict Todd and his goaltenders all year long, so I don't know why I think I can start now.
Shogger, we will see you at the rink tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good, guys. Take care.
Reiner Schock from TSN.